today we're just going to focus on earthquake, seismic events, and geopolitical operations. Stan Deo is really an amazing individual. I'm not going to go over his engineering background, working in secret top security clearance operations with the FBI and with other federal agencies. He's developed solar-related systems for Earth's climate. He's been involved in a lot of Tesla-type research. He's done a lot of marine projects and marine architecture that are classified, advanced propulsion engineering. But what he really does, that he's known for, is accurately with unorthodox systems predict seismic activity. And he's on record on his website and here last year predicting a lot of new seismic activities across the United States in areas it's not traditionally. New York, Oklahoma, Texas. I got a headline here. In fact, it's in my stack. They had earthquakes up in the Dallas-Fort Worth area again just in the last day. Like, I know it's here in my stack, but I'll never find it, guys. Just here it is. Here, yeah, this is in Oklahoma. Swarm of earthquakes strike parts of northern Oklahoma, but even again up in North Texas, they've had some tremors. What's going on? A swarm of earthquakes has shaken parts of Alfalfa County in northern Oklahoma. The U.S. Geological Survey says four earthquakes have been recorded, and these are big ones for that area of the country, around Cherokee and Helena since late Wednesday, including a magnitude 4.3 quake with 5 miles east-northwest of Cherokee at 9:08 a.m. The Sheriff's Department has been reporting that there's been some other quakes as well. I want to go to our guest to talk about this and to break down how he basically predicts these and what he thinks is causing it. Is it the pole moving? We know it's been moving at rapid rates and may even move faster. What's going on with Yellowstone? Is there really, because I've read this and talked to some folks that say it is there, that most U.S. Geological Survey seismologists are fully government funded. And or they work at a university that's government funded, and they've been told if you say anything alarming, which we saw a few years ago about the Yellowstone could be getting ready to go, that you'll be fired or never see the light of day again. Stan, is that true, A? And then B, just give us what you think is most important first off.
Well, Alex, as far as what the muzzle is on the USGS, that has been a matter of public record, oh gosh, probably 5 years ago. But I have had a chance to talk to a couple of witnesses that were actually at Yellowstone, and when people were told, the geologist, to keep their mouth shut or they would be fined or imprisoned, and that was probably 2 years ago that I got the phone calls to tell me about that.
That's right, and they use the argument, don't they, that, well, this is government equipment, and so this is classified, even though it's not a classified agency.
Yeah, look, they even told the truck drivers that were bringing the equipment in, they weren't even USGS personnel, don't you talk. They made them sign the little non-disclosure agreement, you know, fine or imprisonment. And look, the data I got from one geologist there that actually is one of those that was told to be quiet and pass the information out through friends is this. They are monitoring all kinds of sites that they're not showing on the USGS earthquake plot for Yellowstone. And there is so much data being gathered out of Yellowstone by the government at the moment that they're having to use a supercomputer just to analyze the data from, you know, second to second to try to forecast as best they can when there will be an event there. And whether it's a major eruption or whether it's a magma flow or a toxic gas release, all those are important to consider and to prepare for. But you know as well as I do, with the internet like it is, with the spread of news and rumors, a lot of the times without people fact-checking, that should a hint of this come from official sources, it could create panic and hurt the economy even farther. You know, I don't know how much farther you can go.
For those that don't know, the AP and others have reported USGS says earthquake hazard greater than previously thought. So, I mean, this is being admitted, but as you said, they then muzzled them.
Well, look, you know, I've said this with you before, Alex. If we play the game where, say, you or I were in charge of the country and we wanted to protect the country and its people and the people from each other, if we were to come out and say the end of the world is coming tomorrow, we think, but we're not sure, then as an official announcement, people would panic. They would go out shooting each other, rioting, and that kind of stuff, looting. If we announced the possibility, not from the White House, but from unofficial leaks that occur across the country. Then these leaks are picked up by people who watch the news and watch for behind-the-scenes colors, you know, what's happening, and they spread it through the community slowly without causing panic. Now, I think you and I would do that to keep the infrastructure intact in case we're wrong, because, you know, even with supercomputers, you can't really accurately forecast earthquakes and volcanoes to the minute, the day.
What's the best science on the last three big eruptions? In fact, guys, you can search last Yellowstone super eruptions, and then they go back over the thousands of years and the hundreds of thousands and millions of years, and it shows the areas. I mean, usually it covers more than half the country and changes the climate for a long period of time. What are the estimates on what the eruption would be like this time, and how bad could it be?
Well, they've been revising their thoughts on it, that it might not be 600,000 years between eruptions. There might be a 1,000-year window and that sort of thing. So they're being very flexible between 1,000 and 600,000 years for the next one. But they do all agree that we're in the zone now for another eruption statistically from Yellowstone.
And now, how many supervolcanoes are there on the Earth? Because it couldn't just be this one going off.
No, there's this one. There's another undersea one. I can't remember which ocean it's in, but the third one is in North Island, New Zealand at Lake Taupo. And we've been watching that too. In fact, a number of people have. It's going to be so big that it's the Yellowstone of the Southern Hemisphere. I think the other one is in the Northern Hemisphere, under the sea somewhere.
And I think it's Iceland, isn't it? Yeah.
Iceland's certainly doing some wonderful things as far as magma and volcanoes. Iceland's actually raising up out of the seabed, because the ice pack that covers the glaciers that cover the volcanoes there is melting. So Iceland is starting to rise up, and you can see more magma activity along that whole long fissure in the Atlantic Ridge that goes underneath Iceland.
Yeah, and they're blaming it on global warming when the volcanologists know it's because of the magma.
Well, yeah, and the other thing is, why is the northern pole region, why is that warming up and melting ice like rapidly in Greenland and Iceland, and yet the South Pole is gaining ice? Now, that's not a global phenomenon. It is the transfer of electricity in the Earth system from the South Pole up to the North Pole, transferring the heat from the South Pole up to the North Pole, warming the North Pole there, but cooling.
And I've talked to astrophysicists, or, you know, we've got multiple degrees, and they say that is indeed what's happening. And NASA admits the pole's starting to move. Is that connected?
Yes. In fact, NASA did release last year really high-resolution images of the magnetic fields inside the Earth, and they show in the northern hemisphere two north poles and two south poles down here underneath it. And that tells us that the north and south pole is really two sets that are splitting and rotating at the moment. And this is a pole reversal, a magnetic pole reversal, and that is generating part of the climate changes we're seeing all over the world.
Now, expanding on that, I'm looking at your breakdowns, I'm looking at the USGS, I'm looking at the Japanese numbers. I'm just a layman, not an expert like you, but clearly, isn't volcanic activity and seismic activity exponentially increasing right now?
Well, it certainly is increasing. I haven't plotted to see whether it's exponential, but it's rapidly increasing. We get notices here, Holly and I, daily, by the hour from USGS. And over the last few weeks, we've just noted lots and lots of earthquakes all over the planet, more than we would normally see. So, yes, it is rapidly increasing in numbers.
Now, I remember you were on about a year ago, and you said you thought there'd be more seismic activity in places that hadn't been. You talked about the fault line through Oklahoma and into Missouri and other areas. We don't have the staff or the crew to go back and pull that. I know it's on your site. You did say that. Why were you predicting this increased seismic activity? Because now it's happening right where you said it would, but also in New York and Illinois. I mean, what's going on?
Well, what I use to kind of guesstimate what would be happening rapidly is the fact that there were a lot of sinkholes all over the planet appearing. And these, to me, it fits in with my hypothesis that the Earth is expanding again. It has expanded before by as much as 25% of its old diameter. Now it's starting to stretch the surface and put increasing pressures on tectonic plates, particularly in the United States. And if you can, I don't know whether you can push a button where your producer can, but if you go to my website, to the show images page, at the top row, right in the middle, I've got today's snap of the USGS plot of earthquakes in Oklahoma.
We'll put it up, standeo.com, D-E-Y-O, standeo.com. We'll put that on screen. Go ahead.
Okay, and so what it does is it, in the middle row at the top, it shows the earthquakes today. Sorry about that.
It's okay.
That have come down from Oklahoma, down through Dallas, and down underneath San Antonio. And if you look at that that image I've got there, it shows that there is some kind of a geological formation that seems to, the earthquakes seem to be following that line. And so then if you look at the next picture on the top row on the right, which is a geographic map of Texas, you'll see I've drawn a yellow line with a black outline showing where those earthquakes have been happening in Texas.
It's right down the fault line, and that fault line goes right through Austin, Texas. In fact, I'm sitting right in the middle of it right now.
Yeah, and the thing is that whole area connects to an area over into the New Madrid fault line. If you go to the second row, first picture where it says New Madrid fault region, and go on there to... I'm just going to tell you which line to go to. One, two, three. This one shows it the best, I think. Click on the third line, first picture, which has kind of a white line, diagonal line cutting through it. And it shows the shaded area on East Texas right up into New Madrid. It's all kind of connected in that weak part of the... Well, of where the United States should have split when the continents were splitting, but it didn't quite do it. And New Madrid is a leftover of that. But I saw that if we keep stretching that, that it would create stresses along the edge of that that plain, that coastal plain that goes up toward Dallas and Austin. And that's exactly what's happening. There is a safe zone, kind of a shield, if you wish, that... if you, I'm just trying to see if I've got that. I don't have that map up there at the moment, I don't think. But anyway, this shield is a line showing where earthquakes occur from the edge of Canada, you know, on the west side, all the way to the east side, down into Oklahoma region. And that is called a shield. And inside that area, north of that area, there's not many earthquakes. But south, east, and west of that, toward the coastal regions, there is. And that's what I used to kind of forecast what I thought would be happening here in the United States.
Break that down, because you did predict that, and now it's happening. What do you think is going to come next now?
Well, I think that we may see some more earthquakes start to form from Oklahoma City eastward toward Little Rock, Arkansas, into the New Madrid fault line, somewhere in that weakness area there. In fact, if you look at that middle picture at the top row of the main page, the show images page, you'll see a lighter region which shows a depression in the landform of the United States coming from Oklahoma City over toward Little Rock. And there is a fault line there that's not been very active, but I suspect that will be an area we will see some earthquakes here in the next few months.
Oklahoma has just seen, it looks like 100. How many? That looks like a lot. That's a lot of points.
Well, yeah, and that we think is due primarily to fracking, where they're injecting water into gas and oil wells, to bring it back up to the surface. And we do that here in Colorado as well, but they're doing so much here that I suspect that what they're trying to do is relieve seismic pressure in smaller amounts in that region to avoid a massive earthquake, where the pressure builds up and doesn't release until it's too big.
Now, I know the Israelis patented systems to use explosives, they believe, with computer models to stop earthquakes.
That's right.
Can you tell us about that?
Well, I actually was in the middle of one of those over in West Australia years ago, back in the late 70s. At that time, I was seeing classified telexes coming from Pine Gap. But the United States sent a team over to Western Australia, north of Perth, into the mining fields to start detonating along minor fault lines with TNT. They had the teams out doing it. They were tributary fault lines to a major fault line that ran from up the coast above Perth down through Perth. And they were predicting a 7.5 to 8 Richter earthquake in that area, which would shake Perth to the ground because most of its buildings had not been built to earthquake code before 78. Now, to mitigate that, they were relieving the pressure on the main fault line by blasting the smaller ones and letting the pressure equalize out. Now, the Israelis have come up with a better system, as I understand.
They drill, don't they?
I think they do go down deeper, yeah. And because when you're blasting at the surface, it's not as good as getting down, you know, like a kilometer or so, so the shockwave does what you want it to.
Amazing. It's so fascinating, not just from the perspective of, ooh, this is scary. We're on a planet in space with molten lava just a couple miles under us. I mean, it's just so amazing. We'll be back with Stan Deo. I'm Alex Jones, standeo.com. We're at InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. Spread the word. This is important. You can, again, go to standeo.com and find out about all of his very interesting work and black projects and more. But, Stan, thanks for being on hold during that break and plug. Let's go. And of course, people can find all your books as well there and a lot more. But before we go any further, let's get back into earthquakes, hit the most important points. I've asked a lot of the questions now. You kind of cover some of the other areas of what's happening with the Earth's crust, what's happening inside of it, the pole shift, all of these things. That are just out of this world but are really happening. And then let's get into your view. Geopolitically, it seems like all hell's breaking loose. And I know you're a smart guy and have a lot of contacts on that front. What's happening? Stan Deo.
Okay, first on the earthquake situation, while we were having the break there, I uploaded an image of something I think you and your listeners will find very, very interesting. It's on the fracking sites in the United States, a map published by the industry April last year. Fourth row from the bottom on the right-hand side, it says Fracking USA. And if you click on that map, all the green dots you see are where they are fracking into oil wells or gas wells, etc. And when you look at the earthquakes today through Dallas, down through San Antonio and beyond, you will see that to the right of that, they are fracking the heck out of it all the way over into Louisiana and up at Oklahoma City. You'll see they've started, not only they got fracking all around Oklahoma City and north of it, you will see that there is a finger of fracking going out to the right through Arkansas, just like I was telling about, along that fault line, right into the New Madrid fault line. And in West Texas, there's a whole cluster out there. Don't know why they're doing that so much, unless it is for oil and gas, but these others in the plains of Texas, the coastal plain region, and in Louisiana, you know, and part of Mississippi, that tells you that they're taking a great risk pulling it out there, because those are very well laced areas with fault lines because of various activities.
And by the way, 5 years ago, I heard you on Coast to Coast AM. I'm not tooting your horn. It's just no brag, just fact. I heard you with George Norrie saying you believed fracking was connected to earthquakes. Now, top scientists agree in the last year, we have an ABC News headline that fracking is connected to the earthquakes in Texas.
Yeah. Look, it's a minor victory to be saying that. I'm sure that the geologists knew it at the time, but it took this long for them to be able to say it publicly, I think, without getting in too much trouble.
I interrupted. Please continue.
Okay. Well, that's all. I just wanted to show you that on that fracking map that it's quite interesting that they're doing it on fault lines and certainly the coastal plains of Texas. And into Louisiana, Mississippi. These were all lowered and damaged by the Chicxulub meteor impact in the Gulf of Mexico, you know, long, long time ago, which shoved up shockwaves up into Texas. So it already is a weak area. And I just, you know, I don't know whether they're weighing their need for the gas and oil from those fields against trying to avoid any subsidence or earthquakes in the area. I just don't know. But that map, when I look at it, it just stands out in your face that there's something big going on in those areas. Anyway, that's earthquakes.
What are other hot areas in the world or in the United States for seismic activity?
Well, we have, let's see here. Let me see if I can just pull it up. Alaska, of course, is always ongoing. The one that I watch the most is right up near Eureka, California, off the coast. There's a long ridge that comes in out of the North Pacific. It's called the Mendocino Ridge or fault line, but it's a ridge. And as it joins into California, Eureka, it's at the very foot of something called the Juan de Fuca Plate. And people, geologists, have been watching this for years in comparison to all of the other fault line locations around the entire Pacific Rim, you know, the Ring of Fire. And the only area that has built up this much pressure, you know, here at like a Richter 9 or plus earthquake is right here at the foot where the Mendocino Ridge comes into Eureka.
And this is what you said last year, is this is the only area in this big Ring of Fire that hasn't yet triggered.
That's right. It's over 55 years overdue by their estimates. And so that there alone tells you that, maybe they're not quite that accurate. So it's a guess. And it is. And in their defense, it is the best guess they can make.
What would happen if it fully triggered? We're talking about an 8, a 9?
Yeah, you are talking about a 9. And that would produce tsunamis along the coast there. Of course, it would hit Japan later, a few days later.
And we've been so blessed. People go, oh, that'll never happen here. I know folks that have been in some of these LA earthquakes that are a lot smaller, where highways collapse, hundreds die. I mean, folks, how many hundreds of thousands died in the tsunamis a decade ago or less, I guess 8-9 years ago? This is happening all over the world. We've been very blessed not to be hit by what's hit Pakistan and Iraq and Iran and all these other countries that just get devastated. I mean, I've seen numbers of hundreds of thousands getting killed in earthquakes in places like Pakistan.
You know, Alex, you chose the word blessed, and I do agree. It is by the blessing of our Creator, God, that we have been spared these things. But when we pull away from God, like we're doing now, due to the administration, you know, and all the changes they've made, we can expect these things to fall upon us like judgments. You know, it's the blessing is being removed, I'm sure.
You know, it is really true historically that when governments do really bad things, even the pagans believe that if the government got real bad, that they'd have earthquakes and volcanoes and all the rest of it. And the Bible says that, and people always poo-poo it. I just know that it's pretty interesting what's happening right now.
Well, let's watch what happens in the Middle East. We can segue from here to politics, because if the United States is heavily involved, which it is, in the partitioning, the dividing of Israel for a peace treaty between, you know, Palestine and Israel and the rest of the Arab nations. If it is divided, we can expect our country physically to be divided by earthquakes and damaging geological events like volcanoes, etc.
And you're saying because that's in Revelations or Daniel? Or
No, I'm just saying we've observed that whenever we do something to hurt Israel, something of a measured response comes from God to our country, you know, a proportionate response. So wait for it. When we hurt Israel, we're going to get hurt. And this administration, I tell you what, if you go to the my show image page, second row down, right in the middle, I have a picture of Patrick Stewart, you know, Captain Kirk, in the movie they made, Star Trek First Contact. And he's saying there, this far and no farther, you know, they draw the line, and that's like in the Alamo, the line must be drawn here. We have got to stop this administration. Somehow, we must draw that line now, and I can't stress that enough.
Well, there is, even for folks that don't like some of the things Israel's up to sometimes, they're different governments.
Yeah.
What's going on with arming all the radical Islamists, turning them loose all over Africa, the Middle East, trying to overthrow Egypt, and then criticizing Israel? That is what the White House has been doing. That's just insane.
Well, the White House is funding, the enemies of Israel, and even though you say that there are good Muslims and then there are terrorist radical Muslims, when you fund those countries, it funds the radical segment more than it does the people, the Muslims of those countries, that really just average everyday people. In Iran, we have to watch what the administration here does with funding Qasem Soleimani, General Soleimani, that's Solomon in their local language. Because he is moving against ISIS and is therefore, quote unquote, a friend of the United States, because the enemy, my enemy, is my friend. And so the United States is helping Iran, Qasem Soleimani, against ISIS. And everybody's supposed to applaud when ISIS gets crunched. And I think they'll get crunched. And the guy in the Middle East, the military genius that will do this and is doing it, is General Qasem Soleimani. And so America's funding of those activities there and in Africa, you know, it allegedly is to get rid of ISIS, but it is a betrayal of the United States.
Well, there's got to be a larger master plan, because criminals in our government and in NATO helped arm the Syrian Free Army, which basically is ISIS now. Saudi Arabia is involved funding it, too, but claims they're fighting it. There's a double game going on here, from my view. What do you think?
Oh, yeah, look, this is a chess move, and it's not the final play at all. But the reason I chose that picture from Star Trek of Captain Kirk saying, you know, this far, no farther, he was referring to an invasion from off-world by aliens onto the United, onto the world to conquer humanity, you know, and to enslave it. And I think the end game, look further than we are right now at local politics, look at the global picture. And I've said this time and time again for decades now, we are going to have an official meeting, release, you know, announcement of friendly aliens coming to Earth with super technology. And this is according to biblical prophecy as well. And this is what
well, you do see the Pope and others coming out saying they think there's other life forms out there, and all the Hollywood movies. Now, there's a Project Bluebeam to have fake alien landings. But I mean, you're saying you think the end game is something like that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're going toward a global dictatorship, but it will be like the movie, the miniseries V that Kenneth Johnson produced in the mid-70s. The friendlies come looking like humans with their spaceships, park all over the major cities. They have ships that are a mile wide, you know, just hanging in the air over cities. And our scientists are kind of just, you know, dumbfounded. This is impossible, but there it is. And they come in peace, they say. We mean you no harm. We will give you cures for cancer and energy and this and that. So people suck it up. And now then, you know that they had human skins over reptilian bodies.
Well, I know Hillary probably is actually a demonic 14-foot Easter bunny underneath her. I know the elite running things act like they're aliens from deep space come to enslave us. I know that. He just hit the hardcore issue. Why is it when somebody, an engineer or scientist, says, hey, this is demonic, you know, that's what's happening, people are like, oh, that's kooky, that's weird. But wait, 80% of America's, 82% says they're Christian, believe in a God and the devil. Well, we're on a planet in space. Who is the devil? What is the devil that wants to kill, steal, and destroy and become God and mutate the genetics of the planet? Everything the Bible says, but it's not taught in the churches because they're basically government-run now. We're seeing prophecies fulfilled. And look, if you're an atheist and don't believe in spiritual things and other dimensions, which mathematics has proven, and Einstein went from being an atheist to being, you know, someone who believed there was a God. Because how can you do these equations and then not see the fingerprints there? But there's also a spirit of evil. But even in a Carl Jungian way, there are archetypes. And humans build a satanic archetype that always ends in giant black pyramids with human sacrifice. And every ancient culture believed all this was going on. I don't go there because people won't believe there's FEMA camps when I have the congressional documents. So they're not going to get into other things that are fantastical. But clearly, folks, we're not in Kansas anymore, and we never were. We're two-thirds of the way out on the spiral arm of the Milky Way galaxy. And so, Stan, next time you come on, we'll get you into the heavier, more esoteric stuff. But the elite do believe, at Skull and Bones, they believe they're worshiping angels, goddesses from space. That's been in New York Times best-selling books by people that broke in there, basically. They don't call the Bushes crazy for worshiping entities. At Bohemian Grove, they were worshiping entities when I was there. So whether they're space aliens, entities, whatever, or even if they're not real, our elite believe they're real, but you're saying they may fake this as the great delusion that we're biblically told about.
Absolutely. They're going to come as the good guys when the Bible says, beware the first lot coming as messengers of light. That's almost a literal translation.
We got a few minutes in this segment and one more five-minute segment with you. Get into some of your larger view, because you know, you've been accurate predicting earthquakes. You're a smart guy, did a lot of secret operations that have been documented. I mean, what made you form this cosmology, just researching it?
Well, yes. Back in 1969, I fell ill with a bacterial infection that nearly killed me. In fact, I had the out-of-body, near-death experience. And after I came back into my body from that, I had a lot of stuff in my mind that told me to eventually write the book, The Cosmic Conspiracy, to expose this great deception.
By the way, that was a super worldwide bestseller.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
How many copies of that did you sell?
Well, I last count a couple years ago, 250,000 copies, which is just for an amateur guy, that's a lot of books.
Well, I know, but it got picked up and put into other serials and things. I just know it was in magazines, you name it. Yep, we're going to come right back. I'm going to have you back up soon for a full hour on the Cosmic Conspiracy, your view on that. That's a book I heard Bob Dylan likes.